Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Morning, Christ United. Morning. All right, you know what's coming in a minute. Before that comes, I want to ask if you're a dad, you stand up real quick. If you're a dad, can we give God some glory for our dads? Woo! Now, I want everybody to get on your feet and let's give him what he deserves. If he's been good to you, give him what he deserves. That dad, right? That dad, give him what he deserves. Right? I think he deserves more than that. Can we do it one more time? Come on and give him what he deserves. Yes. Mercy. Y'all did good. You can sit down. That was beautiful. Here's the thing. We are in a series talking about our unconnected friends. And today, since it's Father's Day, we're talking about our unconnected families. How many people here recognize this? That the hardest people on the planet for you to be an effective witness to are the ones that you live with, right? Anybody? You know what I'm saying? And the people in your own families are the hardest people to reach. Agreed? Why? Because they really know you. That's why. I mean, honestly, there's this thing that it's like you can't hide anything there, right? The reality is that reaching people in our homes and those people that we love, those people in our families, is very, very hard. But it's not just because we're a mess. There are other reasons. Many people will ask me the question, they'll say, why is it? I mean, not why is it, but they'll say, what is it that I need to say to my family member? You know, I'm trying to reach my husband. I'm trying to reach my kid. I'm trying to reach my dad. And they're asking, what do I need to say to them? Because what they feel like is they've said everything they can think of to say. And so what they're looking for is more words. Right? So I've said all the words I know to say to try to get you to cross the line of faith or accept Jesus or do whatever. And what I'm asking is, what more words do I need to speak that's finally going to get you over the edge? Well, as we think about how to reach our loved ones and we look for those words, what else do I need to say to help bring somebody to faith in Christ? We're going to look at a relationship, and then we're going to be applying this to all of our family relationships. And this relationship is one between a husband and his wife. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter is toward the end of the Bible, back up from the book of Revelation, and you're not too far away from finding 1st and 2nd Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, here's what we find. Now, here's the context. As Paul is talking about being submissive to those in authority around us, even slaves submitting to their masters. And in that environment of talking about this submission toward others, he talks to wives, and here's what he says to them regarding their unbelieving husbands. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So his admonition to them is this. He's saying, look, I'm asking you to reach them without words by your behavior and by your character. That's what's actually going to bring about the change in them. It's not going to be your words. So you can write this in, fill in the blanks if you're doing it on your app or on a sheet of paper you grabbed on your way in. But God can use my behavior more than my words. God can use my behavior more than my words. In fact, very often the problem is too many words. And so remember what he says. They may be won over without words. Our problem is usually not that we have failed to say the right words. Our problem is that we have said too many words. In the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, it says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. In the New International Version, it says, that sin is not ended by multiplying words. It's like we always think that if we can just say more, we're going to get something to change. But he's saying, no, it's not necessarily saying more. It has more to do with our character. It has more to do with our behavior. In fact, when we think about our children and the influence that we have on our children, it is much like the same thing of wives influencing husbands and husbands influencing wives, is that very often what is the biggest hindrance to our witness to our children is our behavior. If I'm a Christ-following husband or wife, the way that I treat my wife is going to be far more of an influence on how my children see God and how much they believe about Christianity than what I say to them. So if I say all kinds of things to them about how God is love and He's good and you need to believe in Jesus and you need to go to church like we do, but yet at home I treat my wife in a way that is not honoring toward her and not loving and caring toward her, then my children believe that what I'm saying means nothing. Agreed? So we're saying that it's important that we recognize that God can use our behavior far more than our words. And that's in relationships between husbands and wives, with children and parents and children. It's even in those distant relationships, like your in-laws. I was listening to a man speak recently, and he said that, I've got a brother-in-law, he said, and this brother-in-law was this big believer in God. And the friend who was talking to me, this guy is himself a believer. But he said, I go to these family reunions, and I've got this brother-in-law who, he's a Christian, and he kind of likes me because he thinks I got it right because I'm a Christian. And he said, and so he's always talking to me. He said, but he's got the most judgmental attitude, and his just spirit is so negative and everything else. He said, and I remember us walking into a family reunion one time, and we both had our plates, my wife and I did, and over there were two sets of seats left in the place. One was over beside the brother-in-law, that's the Christ follower, and the other was over beside the two most notorious sinners in the place, you know? And he said, and we looked at each other, and there was no question where we wanted to sit. We wanted to go sit by the notorious sinners. You know, he said, we had a great time. It was much better than it would have been had we been over here with our, you know, brother-in-law. And how many people know that sometimes the way that we are, our behavior actually messes up. And then our words very often, by having too many words, mess up our witness as well. Now, we said last week that we really want to, when we have somebody we love, we want to pray for them because we care about them. We want to ask them questions because what they think matters, right? We want to listen to them to understand them. And we ultimately want to share with them, we really do, the gospel. We want to tell them the truth. But here's the thing, once you've shared the gospel with somebody, once you've talked about God's love and His grace through His Son Jesus, and they've heard you, we often think if they don't respond, our job is to keep saying it more and more and more, or saying it in different ways, or trying to say more and more and more. No, I've already said it. Now I need to live it, right? I need to live in such a way that what I've said begins to make sense to them. And so I need to be thinking in this way, and you can fill in the blank, but I need to think winning hearts and not winning arguments. But because we have that tendency to think that what I'm going to try to do is talk them into believing that what I say is right. And what God wants us to understand is they're going to begin to believe that what we say is right, not because we've won the argument. It's because we've won their heart, that once they see in us something that's really different, they're going to actually be able to believe that what we're saying is true. Got that? All right. With that thought in mind, winning hearts and not arguments, what is said to the wives here, and again, we're going to take what's said to the wives, and then we're going to apply it to all the relationships. But what he says to the wives is this, is that the husbands may be won over without word by the behavior of their wives. Let me give you an example of that. Last week, I was sharing a story about a gentleman who had given his life to Christ. I was so blessed by that, and he's just an awesome guy, and he took that step of faith, and here he is, you know, in the middle years of his life, and he's just coming to know Jesus, and he's all excited and loving God, and I'm just loving the moment. But as he's talking about this step of faith that we have come to, you know what he said about his wife? And it was just beautiful. She took her step of faith 4 years ago here at Christ United, a little over 4 years ago. She lifted her hand and she said, I want to become a follower of Jesus. And having taken that step, and having talked to her husband about the step of faith that she took, and having said that, man, I found the love of God in Jesus, and everything's going to be new, right? Over that period of 4 years, here's what her husband said to me before he prayed to accept Christ as Lord. He said, I said, what have you got that shows you who God is in your life? What have you got that shows you about his love in your life? What have you got to be like thankful for? And he said this about his wife. He said, what God has done in my wife's life and the changes that have come in her life as a result of what Jesus has done, that is what has shown me God. That's what shown, I mean, so for him to say that, how many people would love to be that spouse whose husband would one day say, it's the change that I saw in my spouse as a result of Jesus. It's the character that I saw in them that brought them to faith in Christ. And so as I celebrate that brother who gave his life to Christ and whose name is going to be on a banner up there, for having given his life to Christ, and the reason that he's up there is because God drew him to himself. But who God used to draw him to himself was this guy's wife. Do you know there's nobody who is in a better position to influence the people in your family than you are if you are that instrument of God's love and God is able to show that love through you to them? Now, I said that we would look at what is said to the wives, so let's just keep following this. Whenever he says, by the behavior of their wives, what kind of stuff is it that they see within their wives? Well, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. That word purity, let me say this to women, and y'all, this is a teaching moment, and I really felt like God saying we need to teach on this, so just get ready, wives, because this is real important. Very often, wives will come to faith before husbands do. But whether that's the case or not, here's what is very often the case with women who become Christ followers. They pick up something that is not biblical at all. They pick up this notion that somehow a woman who is a Christ follower, purity has to do with non-sexuality. They have this idea that somehow purity is about me being not sexual. Which is so untrue, and it's such a dangerous lie. The dangerous lie is that somehow my purity has to do with my being less affectionate sexually than I've been before. I had a man actually say to me one time, he said, my sexual relationship with my wife died when she became a Christian. And I thought, that is so tragic and so unlike what God really desires to be true. You know who created sexual intimacy? God did. You know what he created it for? He created it not just for procreation. Through Scripture, it's extremely clear. He created it to be a source of bringing two people together as one. And that relationship is intended to be enjoyed and blessed by God in a way to where people outside of Christian life look in and say, I wish I had it that good. Right? Yeah, yeah. Now, with that thought in mind, instead of a husband coming to me and saying, my sexual relationship with my wife ended when she became a Christ follower, what he really ought to come to me and saying is, I've never known my wife to be as loving and as caring and as secure within herself. I've never known this kind of love before now. And it's the same way if husbands come to faith in Christ. Their wives ought to see them caring for their wives in a whole different way. It ought to affect every aspect of her life, including that one. I've put in here, I want you to just look up 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And so whether you're a husband or a wife, this chapter is devoted to talking to you about how it ought to affect you in your relationship with your husband or your wife, particularly in that area of intimacy, how that ought to affect you if you become a follower of Jesus. Now, I had a friend, as we were doing the sermon preview, he said, Jeff, I don't want you to give people the idea that it's like evangelism by sex. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I'm going to win my husband to Christ. And that's not the thought here, all right? Although, how many guys like that idea, right? No, I'm teasing. But I'll pretend I'm not saved, right? No. I love it. No, here we go. Reality. I mean, in all reality, when we come into a relationship with Jesus, it should impact the relationships in our lives in such a way as that the person on the receiving end of our love sees a love that's on a whole different level. And that's in every aspect of what love is. Okay? So now moving on into that. When you see the purity and it says the reverence of your lives. And again, this is still speaking to wives who are trying to reach their unsaved husbands. That word reverence actually is the word fear. It's the Greek word from which phobia comes. It's fear. See? That was cool. I love that. I don't know how that happened, but I saw y'all jump. That was really cool. All right. But anyway, I don't know how that happened, but it was good. Fear, right? So, but here's the thing. It's not fear of people. It's an awe and a reverence and a respect for God that takes away your fear of people. Okay? It's an awe and respect and reverence for God that takes away your fear of human beings and makes you a person. It's amazing when the woman of noble character in Proverbs 31 is spoken of in verse 25. It says that she is clothed with strength and dignity. Whenever this woman is encouraged to have this relationship with her husband, and at the time in this culture, husbands could be mistreating their wives, and it wouldn't even be looked at as a bad thing in the culture around them. And so these women were in a place where they are, and he had just talked about submitting yourselves to masters when you're in a place of slavery. For many women, they were treated that way by husbands. Husbands were not necessarily good in the pagan culture around them. But he's saying to them, look, even in the midst of all that, I'm encouraging you to show such a strength and such a love that you're able to love in the face of whatever's going on. He said, you need to be like Sarah. And Sarah had this amazing capacity of strength to be able to be in a relationship with Abraham and do it in such a way that even though that jerk made some really bad mistakes, if you hadn't read about it, he really did. But as he did some really raunchy things, the truth is that Sarah had the strength to remain in a relationship with him, so where she was representing that integrity. And here's what he says to those women. He says, you will be her daughters if you don't give way to fear. That's in verse 6 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. If you don't give way to fear, come on, be strong. You need a strength in you, a strength of love. And so I remember in Kentucky, there was a woman who had given her life to Christ, and her husband was really abusive. And she had had a weakness toward him. She was afraid of him. And so he had been abusing her for years. She came to a relationship with Christ, and two things increased at the same time: her love for him and her unwillingness to let him beat her. And it was so beautiful because she began to love him where she had hated him. And she began to stand up and say, I'll love you from the other side of the bars of the jail, dude, until you get it straight. And because of that strength and that love, he began to see the character of Jesus. Does that make sense to everybody? And God's saying, that's what I want for you. I want you to begin to love those in your life around you. And wives, love your husbands in that way. I was talking to a gentleman just yesterday who he had been in active addiction for years, and his wife had been a Christ follower, and he had not yet come to Christ, but she was acting in such a way with such character that he said, she became an attraction to me in my relationship with Jesus, that just seeing her character. And so even if after he had come to sobriety, he was still not in a relationship with Jesus, and his wife continued to act with character in such a way that he said, she attracted me to Jesus. And now he's a devoted follower of Christ, and it's just beautiful to see what's happening in his life. But this was just yesterday that he told me, he said, it was my wife that attracted me to Jesus. I'm going like, man, that's pretty cool, right? Anybody like that idea? So here's the thing. She's a strong woman. I know this woman. She's strong. And she was strong enough to say to him, I won't put up with some of the things that are going on in active addiction when he was in active addiction. You know what I'm saying? But she loved him and loved him consistently and loved him persistently in that process. All right, those things having been said, now let's take that truth I said and we were going to apply it to other relationships. If he's saying to the wife, look, you're going to have far more impact by your behavior than you are by your words. It's going to be by your behavior that you're going to bring about a change. He's going to see this purity and reverence in your life. He's going to see you loving him better. He's going to see you being more strong in love and being that right person. That's who you're going to be. Well, it's the same way regardless of what your relationship is in your family. If you begin to show that kind of behavior and that kind of character, it will change things. And let me give you an example. I was on a backpacking trip in Kentucky when I was a seminary student, and we would take these high school students on backpacking trips up in the Red River Gorge of Kentucky, awesome place, and we'd keep them up there for 2 weeks. And we came back 1 year. The next year, this dad came back because the son had been saved the year before. The year before, during camp, he gave his life to Jesus and became a follower of Christ. The next year, dad came back with the son and said, I want to go on this trip. He said, because I want to find out what changed my son so much. The way that he respected me and respected his mother, and the way that he cleaned his room and did his homework, the way his whole character changed in such a way that I decided that I wanted the same thing he's got. Now, isn't that a cool thought? Isn't it cool that this teenage boy, his character changed in such a way and his behavior changed in such a way that he won his father to a relationship with Christ by that character and that behavior change? And God's saying, I want to see the same done in you. You see, what Peter was doing was Peter was taking a truth that Jesus had already spoken to him and spoken in the Sermon on the Mount, and he was taking this truth and he was applying it, hearing this whole idea of submitting to those in your life and being that person with that kind of integrity and that kind of selflessness. Jesus had said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. The reason I have that slide up there, just so you want to know, is they will see the purity and reverence of your life if you're a wife. The truth is regardless of who you are, regardless of the family member you're trying to reach, if your family member can see the character of Christ in you and see that in your behavior, that is going to be the witness that's going to make the difference in their lives. So here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it does what? It gives light to everyone in the house. Now, this is just an analogy that he's using, but isn't that a perfect analogy for families? That if I'm going to let my light shine, it's going to give light to everyone in the house. If I'm going to actually represent the love of Jesus and be the person of that character, it's going to give light to those who are around me in my sphere of influence, particularly among my family and with those in my home. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God wants you to be that witness in your family's life and see that change come about in them. And so write this in if you are filling in the blanks, because this is really important. Jesus wants to show his love to them through me. He wants to show his love to them through me. Now, can everybody just kind of zip into me right now for just a second? I just want you to think about this. You are where you are in the relationships you're in with the family members, the children you have, the parents you have, the brothers and sisters you have, the relationships you have within your family. You are there as a light to that family. And God wants to use you individually, you as a person. He wants to use you to show his love to them. If you get that mindset and just say, I am the instrument of God's love, if they're going to know the love of Jesus, they're going to know his love through me. I'm that instrument. It begins to change everything about the way you see yourself and you see the relationships that you're in. Let me give you an example. I had a young lady who gave her life to Christ. She had been in such a bad state that she had several children, and her sister would have to come and have to try to take the children away from her because she was so high on Quaaludes that they were afraid the children would be hurt in the process. Her name was Teresa. Well, her sister and her mother and others used to try to get the children away from her because she was so messed up, and then she gave her life to Jesus. One of those sisters who used to come and try to get the children away from her because Teresa was so messed up, her name was Jackie. And Jackie was a young lady who herself did a lot of drugs and was kind of a party girl. Teresa came to Jesus, and she became such a model mother that I used to send moms to Teresa to learn how to be a good mom. Is that a cool thought? And then having sent people to Teresa to learn how to be a good mom because Jesus had made such a difference in Teresa's life. Later, about 3 or 4 years down the road, when I was leaving that town, this girl, Jackie, came and said, I have got to know how to begin a relationship with Jesus. And when she talked about the why I've got to know how to begin a relationship with Jesus, guess what was the thing that she wanted? I want what Teresa's got. I want that in my life because I've seen the difference that it made in her. How about you and I be that people in the relationships that person in the relationships with us, around us, in our families. I'm going to get kind of personal, and this one, I wondered about, I was going to use this anonymously as though it wasn't me, but I thought it would be right to share it. When it comes to reaching family members for Christ, how many people have somebody you've prayed for a long, long time, and it seems like they're never going to turn the corner? Anybody? Right? One of those for me was my dad. I began praying for him early on. He's a lawyer, and I remember sharing faith with him and I tried every angle to argue with him, and I gave him books with, you know, all kinds of stuff, and just tried my best to get through to my dad. And I had shared Jesus with him, and he never would cross that line of faith. It was years. And I remember as I continued to pray for him, there was a point at which God basically said, "Zip it, you know, just shut up. You're not going to win the argument. You got to win the heart. You remember, I can use your behavior more than I can use your words. You need to think winning hearts, not winning arguments." And so I just tried to do nothing but just, I want to try to love my dad. And I want to try to be the father that I need to be. I want to try to be the husband I need to be, all those things. I remember when my father finally made that step of faith and crossed the line of faith and gave his life to Jesus. He used to write poetry. And he wrote this poem, and he gave me this poem. And in the poem, basically he said this. He said that, speaking of me, he said, "Jeff broke the cycle." And in his poem, he talked about the fact that for generations there had just been pain and addiction and trouble and stuff. And he said, and I had brought that into my family. And he said, and I looked into this guy's life, I looked into my son's life, and I saw something different. And that the cycle had been broken. What I want to ask you is, would you consider the possibility that your loved one is going to be convinced of who Jesus is by seeing something different in you than what he's seen in anybody else or she's seen in anybody else? Now, at the same time I share that story, and I had another brother that I prayed for years. I mean, he used to stand and curse God out loud, and then he ultimately came to a relationship with Christ. It was amazing. After years and years of praying for him, it was beautiful to watch him come to faith in Christ. But does that mean that people are always going to come to faith in Christ when you pray for them? It doesn't. This passage says to those wives, they may be won over without words. Now, I will say that that is in Greek in what's called the indicative mood, which means that there's an expectation it's going to happen. It's not like, well, it might happen. No, that may happen. You know what I'm saying? We got this expectation it's going to happen. But Jesus said that they'll reject me and they'll also reject you. Not everybody's going to come to faith. Everybody get that? So we're not saying that if you have a loved one who hasn't given their lives to Jesus yet, it's your fault. You haven't been praying hard enough. You haven't been doing enough. I've got a brother right now who I love with all my heart who has never crossed the line of faith. He's 54 years old, and at 54 years old, he's never yet crossed the line of faith. If he doesn't cross the line of faith, I will not look back and say, I didn't do enough. I've shared what I believe to be true about Jesus a long time ago, but here's what I want you to know, is that in my conversations with him recently, and just opportunities to just continue to love my brother and just continue to love him, if God's going to use anything in me to affect my brother toward a relationship with him, it's going to be my behavior and not my words. Does that make sense? It's going to have to be him seeing in me something that he says, it's got to be real. It's got to be real. So have you got somebody like that in your life? Do you have somebody in your life that you're wanting so desperately for them to know? Now, guys, yes, you need to share the gospel. And yes, you need to be prepared when the Lord prompts you to say what needs to be said. But how many people truly believe right now that God can use your behavior more than he can use your words? Anybody believe that to be true? How many people think that if I started changing my attitude to where I stopped thinking about winning arguments and started thinking about winning hearts, that it might be helpful? Anybody believe that? Now this is the last one. I want you to raise your hand high on this one if you believe it. But do you believe that Jesus wants to show his love to them through you? Would you do that? Keep those hands up. Keep them up. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would use every person with every hand raised in this place, that you would pour out a love into our hearts for our families, Lord God, and give us a strength to love in a way that they've never known, Lord God, we pray that you would give us victory over every temptation that would tempt us away from our belief in their salvation, that would tempt us away from continuing to live out that character. And Lord God, would you use us right now with our hands raised? We pray you would use us as an instrument of your love to them. And by your Holy Spirit, you would draw them to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Going to be fun. Stand up. Wait, everybody stand up. Y'all, this is going to be fun. This last part is going to be so fun. They're getting ready to sing a song, and it just occurred to me, you've got to hear this story. I'm encouraging you right now, everybody around this room, that sometimes it takes a long, long time, and I'm saying sometimes it never happens because Jesus gives us freedom to respond to him or not. Agreed? So not every family member we love is going to come to Jesus no matter how much we love him, right? In fact, the Bible even says to wives who are with unbelieving husbands, if that unbelieving husband chooses to leave you and go off and hook up with another woman and leave you, let him go. A believing wife isn't bound in those circumstances. How do you know whether you'll save your husband or not? We aren't saying that you have the power to save somebody. We're saying that in the best of your ability, you love with a love that is contagious and watch God work. Right? Agreed? Now, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't quit. If somebody else quits you, you can't help that, right? But don't quit loving the people in your life. And don't quit seeking to be that. And don't quit believing. And don't quit praying. A man named Jimmy. Jimmy had been abusive. He'd been alcoholic and he'd been abusive. And his wife had been praying for him for 3, 5, 7, 9, 10, 11 years, 12 years, 13 years, 14 years, 15 years. Who's ready to quit besides me, right? She had the strength to be able to not let him continue in abusing her. She had the strength to stand up and do what she needed to do, but she kept loving him and kept loving him, kept 16 years, 17 years, 18 years in, still praying for him, still loving him, still being his wife, even when she had to have him out of the home until he would straighten up and come back. She kept loving him for 18 years. Finally, a knock on the door inviting him to a revival, and he asked Jesus into his heart. Now, here's what happened to that man. They had 12 children together. I talked to one of the sons of those 12 and asked him, what was your daddy like before he gave his life to Jesus? He said, I don't even remember my daddy before he became a follower of Christ. All 12 of those children, dedicated followers of Jesus. All of them beautiful grandchildren growing up to honor God. The guy's name was Jimmy Renfro. Jimmy Renfro had a son named Timmy, who was a friend of mine. Timmy had a son that you may know, a guy named Hunter Renfro, who played wide receiver for Clemson University and honors God in such an amazing way with his character and everything else. I'm just thinking about the legacy that's there. You know why? Because Grandma said, I'm not going to stop loving. I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be persistent, and I'm not going to stop loving, and I'm not going to stop believing that God can save this person that I love. Amen to that? Amen.
And if thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.